Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Welcome into the playbook for Tuesday on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook with Patriot Football Weekly's Eric Scalavino. This is, of course, Election Day, and I hope that you've gone out and done your civic duty today, especially those of you on this side of the pond.
Yeah, I did.
You did?
I always go before work. Yep.
Okay.
I like now, I love Election
Are
Day.
You one of those that like to stand in line before the polls open and then go right in as the polls open?
No, but I like to do it before I get to my work day. You know, I like to do that and have the burden off of my mind for the rest of the day. And I just like to, you know, follow the exit polls and the coverage throughout the day and the night. I especially love election night because I love it when the returns start coming.
Yeah, yeah. I've been that way ever since I was a little kid.
Greatest country in the world.
I have been that way ever since I was old enough really to understand what was going on.
Me too.
The numbers roll in. I've always been fascinated by the process.
My parents always took me to the polling station with them, and I got to pull the levers when I was a kid.
Nice.
The old fashioned one where you had the curtain. Yeah. You know, you pulled the thing and the curtain would come.
And then you'd flick, and
right,
then, and
right,
then
exactly,
and all the votes go in.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, they got all that. So that's good stuff. All right, well, I'm glad you did that. I figured out a system to beat the crowds.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't terribly crowded, but I've never been one to stand in line at 7 a.m.
Why? What's wrong with you?
I just don't want to do that. I wait until the rush is over because people are trying to vote before they go to work, right?
Yeah.
Generally speaking.
Like me.
Yeah.
Right.
So usually right after 9 a.m., that's when I'll go and I'll find the polls wide open. And sure enough, I went about 9:30 this morning and wide open. I had one gentleman to stand behind. It took me 2 minutes to grab my ballot. I'm out.
Were you able to avoid the glad handers in front? You know how?
No, you know why? I don't mind them. And I'll tell you why I don't mind them. Because having run for office a number of years ago myself, they're out there to try to do a job for the most part. And they're out there to support their candidate.
Yep.
So I always talk them up. I chat them up. And then, you know, the ones that ask me, You know, if you decided on such and such race, like for instance, I had a guy that came up to me today as soon as I got in there, and I understand why, you know, nobody likes that, but that's a hard job.
Oh, sure.
That's a really hard job to do that. And so a guy came up to me, shook my hand, and he goes, "I'd like to ask you for my son's vote." I guess his son was running for one of the city council seats where I live in Cranston. And I said, "Well, great. You know," I said, "congratulations on your son. I'm sure he'll do a great job."
Did you vote for him?
I did. Because he asked me for his vote.
Were you undecided at that point?
Yeah, largely.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, see, it made a difference.
Okay.
There was somebody at the polling place today. I was largely undecided, and I went in there, and I looked for his son's name on the ballot. It said Democrat underneath it. I cringed. What does that tell you about me?
Well, you're from Texas.
But there's Democrats from Texas, too. No, I was very proud of myself today. I never vote a straight ticket. I may lean.
You shouldn't.
I may lean Republican, but I am an
unaffiliated.
Affiliated.
You're an independent.
Voter. I am an independent.
Right. As most people are.
The majority of people are. And if I felt strongly about a candidate in a primary, then I would register. And
one or the other.
Because
in Rhode Island, we can do that.
Right.
That's right.
But I don't do that. I stay independent. I was very proud of myself today. I voted for Democrats. I voted for one independent. I voted for a couple of Republicans. So I tried to choose the guy. And I was largely undecided in the city council race. But because the guy's father was out there campaigning for him, that edged it.
What would you have done had you not run into the fellow?
You know, that's a great question. I haven't really thought about it. I probably would have considered him just because I've seen a lot of his material and read a little bit in the local little newspaper and such. He could have possibly had my vote.
Would you have left it blank? Have you ever left a...
Yeah. If I don't know enough about a particular candidate in a particular race,
That's smart.
I don't vote. Because if I don't have enough knowledge, I'm not just going to vote for some schlum just because he's a Republican or just because he's an independent.
Should be an informed voter.
Exactly. Exactly, which is what I'm asking our listeners today, to be informed before they count, before they have their ballot and their voice and their vote heard today. Because in the spirit of today being Election Day in the United States of America, I've got a very easy question. I mean, I know today's Nitpick Tuesday. It's always, you know, on Tuesdays, it's always Nitpick. And I will open up for nitpicks today.
I have a nitpick about the bye.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that. But if you have your nitpicks, now's the time. But also, because today's Election Day, I have a very generic question. I tweeted this out a little bit earlier. And I feel like, you know, this is something good to do on Election Day. I want you to tell me your favorite. I want you to vote, and because we're going to keep count here.
Okay.
Throughout the entire two-hour program, we're going to keep count. So I want them to come in, and I want them to come in, you know, hard and fast. I want you to vote for your favorite Patriots player currently on the roster and your favorite Patriots player
all time.
Of all time. Of all time. This, we're going back to 1960, okay? And I want you to tell me why.
Can we have a ticket? Can we have a best and a vice best?
Okay.
Because I have two that I can't choose between the two.
All right, if you insist.
All time guys.
If you insist, you may have a ticket of
I want a ticket of
president
two.
And vice president,
yeah.
Or best and vice best.
Best and vice best.
Okay, that's fine.
B and VB.
B and okay. See, Eric's already getting me to switch things. Damn the political system. Just one or the other.
We're debating.
I know. That's all I'm saying here. Okay? So here's how you reach us on the program. If you're uninitiated, I'm going to initiate you. Webradio@patriots.com.
I'm going to learn you.
I'm going to learn you something here. That'd be a good word. Initiate.
Initiate.
Webradio@patriots.com. That's the email address. You can hit us up on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Again, the area code is 508-298-0398. You can also hit us up via social media. Find me on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E. If you have not submitted a friend request, submit one. Initiate. And then I'll answer that, and then we can post and chat and all that stuff. And then on Twitter, @JRook0722. J-R-O-O-K-E 0722. Send me a tweet on Twitter, and we'll go that route. So there's many different ways that you can get in touch with the program, but I want you to vote. Vote, and we are going to keep count. So if you really feel strongly about a player, I suggest that you hit me up, Facebook, Twitter, email, pick up the phone and call. We'll have a dialogue about it. But we want to do this today. This is how you get your chance to vote and be heard about your favorite Patriots player presently on the current 53-man roster.
Yep.
And of all time. Now, that could eliminate a few. That could eliminate a few very good Patriots, but I would ask you that, let's say you really like somebody from the 04 Super Bowl team or maybe the 07 team that obviously went 16-0, then you're going to have to like them enough to vote for them as the all-time favorite Patriot player. Okay? And I want to see where we are and the different kinds of answers that we get. I think this would be a nice, almost a little sociological lesson today in terms of Patriots football history. Don't you think?
Sure. I think Tom Brady would get a lot of votes.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will. But I'm going to tell you that my two votes, and I will cast them shortly, neither one is Tom Brady.
Mine either.
Okay.
Mine either.
See, there you go.
But I wonder, now, just a question just for clarification here.
Yeah.
Can a present, if you vote for a present
yes.
favorite,
yes.
and he's also your all-time favorite, you don't get a second vote, right?
No. No, because it's still two votes. It's the same guy, but it's still two separate votes. So if you have a present day Patriot who's your all time fave, then that's it.
That's just one vote. You can only, right. That's what I mean. It only counts once.
You could vote for two.
Or does it count twice?
No. The one person will count twice. So in other words, we'll put it in the present column and in the past
okay, so
column.
So it's one vote that counts twice.
Correct.
Two. Okay.
Correct.
All right.
Did I make myself clear? Did I not make myself clear? I don't know. Today is also another special day.
Somebody's birthday.
Yes, and today's somebody's birthday.
Somebody on the team's birthday.
Somebody on the team's birthday.
Somebody involved in the organization's birthday.
Somebody. In fact, it's somebody that's in the studio, within the studio's birthday.
Today. Yeah.
Thank you both. I appreciate it.
Kevin Collins.
God knows Fred didn't mention it.
He didn't mention it.
I don't think
at
he
all.
Knew.
It's okay. I'm just kidding.
Kev, happy birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate all three.
So what are you doing for
happy
your birthday?
Happy 45th birthday.
Happy 45th, you bald fart.
It's been a long grind over these last 45. No. I'm trying to get out of here around 6 when we
Aren't
end
we
the
all?
Fantasy show to get out and vote. That's my goal. So I got to drive.
Where do you live?
Well, I live in Dedham, but where I'm registered, where I'm originally from, is Plymouth. So I have to drive.
You
got
to
like
go to Plymouth?
Hour.
When do polls close?
Eight, probably.
Eight? So if I leave at 6, I should be
you
able
should
to
be fine.
It, as long as I don't hit any.
Well, as long as you're in line to vote, you get a chance
That's
to
right.
vote before
yeah.
the polls
so
close.
I
right.
plan on
if
doing,
you're in line by 8 o'clock,
you're
good.
Okay.
So, and it is really important to me to be able to be down there, and it didn't make sense for me to get up at the crack of dawn.
How many presidential elections have you voted in now? If you're counting today as a make.
This would be 2, I guess.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
The rookie's in studio with us today. He just missed by a couple of months.
Well, you didn't vote when you were 19?
No, it must
Because you're what, 27 then. You said?
Yeah, it must be 3 then. This will be 3.
Your third?
Yeah.
Your third? Yeah.
Eric's right.
Yeah. The rookie just missed his first presidential election by a couple of months.
That's nope, too bad. Still can't vote.
You were robbed.
You were robbed.
It's true.
So you'll be a senior in college for the first time you get a chance to vote for president.
Yeah, 2016.
So you'll are you looking forward, though, to being able to
he
vote?
He might be the president by that time. Who
in
knows?
In 2016?
Who knows?
Heaven help us.
Have to be 35 to run.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if I want that job.
Yeah, considering all that's going on right
now. I would take it because even after 4 years, all you have to deal with is 4 years and you're set for life after that.
Why? Because of the book deals?
Yeah, you're a millionaire. You're set for life. If you're president, you
Actually,
have
for the
you
job,
are set for life.
For the job that you perform, what's the presidential salary like? $400,000?
$400K. Yeah. It's $400K.
Yeah, that's
roughly.
Nothing for the work you do. That's nothing.
So Mitt's
yeah, but
making the
it's
pick.
Not that. It's the ancillary stuff that you get afterwards, and
well,
you get
yeah,
treated like
I mean.
A king
like,
everywhere you
yeah,
go.
Like
I mean, it's the best
always,
job in the world.
You are always president of the United States,
think
even
of all the
with
cool travel you get to do in those
cool travel. Everything. It's perfect. And if you get 8 years, great.
And you got a Secret Service agent following you for the rest of your life.
No, for 10 years now.
Was it just 10 years?
Yes,
now?
They've changed that.
They're
I think Bubba was the last one that gets the lifetime protection.
Is that right?
I believe so.
Bubba's the last one that gets lifetime protection?
I think that's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Eric, now you're now over 35, correct?
I was 35. I would have been eligible to run in 2008.
Oh, there you go. I was going to say.
Because when I was a kid, I became interested in politics in earnest when I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
Lying on the couch the week that President Reagan was shot.
Okay.
And I was homesick from school. And was watching the coverage all week, was watching it when it happened and everything. And I remember thinking, because at the time, you know, I'm 8 years old, I didn't really know a whole lot. I knew about, you know, the whole Carter-Reagan race at mm-hmm. that point. That was kind of big news back then. But I remember sitting there thinking, like, the whole world is focused on this guy, Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
He's laid up in bed. He was, like, in his pajamas. Remember, he'd go to the window and he would wave, you know, at the hospital.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there thinking, I'm sitting home in my pajamas. And nobody's caring about me. But this guy, what has this guy done that everyone in the world, like the TV cameras and everything's wondering about how well this guy is doing? And it just got me just, you know, I was fascinated by that. Yeah. And then I started, like every time he'd come on television and give a speech, I'd watch. And I got just interested in politics that way and was very into civics when I was a kid. And found out that you had to be 35 years old
mm-hmm.
in order to run for president. And I've always been fascinated with the presidency, the office itself,
the process.
And I started doing the math, and I said, I'll be 35 in a presidential election year. I'm going to run for president.
I'm running for president.
Be the youngest president ever. 35. I'm going to do it.
Well, if Mitt Romney wins tonight, though, wouldn't Paul Ryan qualify as the youngest veep? He's what, 42?
Sure. He's 42.
I think so,
he looks
yes.
young, too. God, he does.
Yeah, he's 42.
Wow.
Looks younger than I do.
He does.
Yeah.
You're 27, and you definitely look older than he does.
27 going on 57.
Yeah, 47, I'd
that's
say.
Right. I'm flattered, then. That's a compliment. Appreciate that.
So nothing big, then,
for
tonight?
Probably go down there, just make sure I do my duty and feel good about that.
Okay.
And then probably swing by my folks and have dinner with them.
Let them buy you dinner.
We'll probably just eat in since it'll be late by the time.
And watching the election returns.
My guess is since I'm going to be on the later end, there's going to be a line of people that are getting out of work are going to have to vote. So just
early day, end of night are the rush.
Order in Chinese.
I'll be patient, do that, and then probably just I don't get to see my folks that much during the season, so it'll be like an added bonus.
Yeah.
that not only do I see them, but my mom gets to see me on my birthday, which she's, you know, nice. Mothers are like,
oh yeah, crazy over that.
So
yeah.
That'll be good for her.
Yeah,
that's
really
a birthday present for her than me.
I like it. Good.
My parents actually work at a polling station in North Providence.
Good for them. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys catch?
They've been doing that for years.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Did you catch the Elizabeth Warren quote this morning?
No.
So I'm listening.
What did she say now?
I'm listening to BZ Radio, 10:30 a.m. locally here.
See, now you're really showing your age.
Yeah. Well, I trying to catch up on some stuff that was happening.
News radio.
Hey,
come on.
I listened to it on the way into work. Catch up on the issues.
Wow, you are showing your age, bro.
Check the market. Check the market reports and all that good stuff.
Right.
So anyway, so she went in to vote in Cambridge, where she lives, and she's coming out, and one of the reporters is there with a microphone. Trying to get, her reaction of, the process and what it was like that morning. And she, you could tell she was sort of caught off guard by it. And, they just wanted a quick snippet to air on PC. And she goes, "When I was a little girl, maybe 6-7 years old, I used to watch my mother work the polls." And then there was an awkward silence. And I thought of Andy. I'm like, oh, Andy, if I could
do
it.
He would absolutely.
And then there was an awkward silence. And then she said, oh, I used to sit because my mother would register people to vote. And then she knew right when she said that. She was like, oh, this came out wrong. But it was just, it was a fantastic way to start.
Austin's late to the party here.
He's all red right now. Look at his face.
How you doing, bud?
He's all red.
See, now this is why we need to have cameras in here. Because if we'd had a camera focused on him, you could see this quizzical look on his face. All of a sudden, bang, it hits. That's like, oh, I get it now.
But the first person I thought of was Fathead.
Funny.
I was like, if Fathead heard that.
That's hilarious. That's the best part of the whole thing.
Starting in January, we're going to lay more pipe.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Rookie's getting initiated over here.
Yeah, he's getting initiated into Patriot.com radio. Okay, web radio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Come on, pick up the phone. Let's go. Let's hear from you. Cast your ballot. John.Rook on Facebook, at JRook0722, Twitter. Patriot favorite. Currently, Patriot favorite all time. I'm going to let you think about it a little bit, but I want you to be thinking about that, and then I want you to submit your ballot here on the program. You got several different ways you can do it. Love to hear from some of you to pick up the phone and take the time to call today, and let's talk about this. Also, of course, because it's Tuesday, and traditionally it's Nitpick Tuesday here on the program, if you have nits to pick, we're going to pick on them just a little bit. All right? For instance, Eric said that he has a nit to pick about this being, coming off of the bye week, right?
Yeah, my nitpick is that it wasn't long enough.
Oh, because you just came coming off of a four-day break, right?
Yeah.
You enjoyed the bye week.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this then. If you enjoyed the bye week and having 4 days off, how much do you think the guys out on the field today enjoyed the bye week?
Probably just as much, yeah. Body recuperation-wise.
Is it your experience that most of the time these guys are sufficiently rejuvenated, especially if you can come as close to the middle of the season as you can, to where it actually makes a discernible difference once you start playing again?
I think any time you get a break is a good time to get one. The fact that it's in the middle of the season is even more advantageous for them. And, I mean, just based on attendance, I was really surprised last week that there were so many guys who were practicing before the bye. Because normally that's the week that they give everybody and their uncle a little extra time off. But there were more guys there. And there were more guys missing now after the bye than there were last week.
Oh,
only one more, really. But I mean, I think more from a mental standpoint than anything else. It's good not to have to go through that grind, even if it's only for a few days. And because then I think you do kind of reset your own clock, your own body clock.
Should there be, I'm going to ask you the question now, should there be two byes in the middle of a season?
Well, there used to be, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Years ago.
And I didn't really care for that. I didn't like it that much. I thought one is enough. And if you're a good enough team, you get the second bye in the first weekend of the playoffs.
What if the NFL goes to a 17 or 18-game schedule? Regular season. Still could happen at some point.
It could, and I hope it doesn't, because I think that would be a terrible mistake. But B, if they do go that far, then I think they would have to consider that, because That's a lot of wear and tear on the body to go that long.
Well, so in that regard, it seems to me the prudent thing to do would be to put a second buy in there.
Yeah. Again, I hope that it doesn't come to that.
I think you'd only still really be adding one extra week to the season if you put the second buy in there, even if you had 17 or 18 regular season games. You just have to back up, I think,
you're taking out preseason games.
Yes, so you're taking out preseason. You just have to back up the start of the regular season to the weekend probably before Labor Day.
Yeah. Either that or you take out the bye in the playoffs.
Which, that one I might favor a little more, but then again, the teams that earn the bye usually want the bye for reason, so they can rest and relax and heal up walking wounded, and that's, you know, they've earned that through the right of the regular season.
Yeah.
So I'd actually be more in favor of starting the season earlier and keeping the bye in the playoff for the team that earned it. Because I think that's where you can get an advantage in the playoffs if you do it right. Now, there are some that would say, as you well know, well, you know, it's all about momentum. And if you've gotten on a hot streak and won four or five in a row going through December and you're chugging on through, and then you got to take a stop and wait for everybody to play off, and then you come out cold, which we've seen the Patriots do, by the way, a couple of years ago, then, you know, there is a downside to it.
Yeah, the bye is tricky because it's funny, during the regular season, Patriots are almost unbeatable coming off of a bye, historically. But in the playoffs, you're right. It's kind of it's a double-edged sword. I don't know why that is. But, you know, sometimes they come out flat, like they did against the Jets a couple of years ago. Other times that it helps the team to get healthy, which is obviously key at that time of year. I don't know why that's kind of weird, don't you think?
Yeah, a little bit.
That in the regular season, they don't seem to have a problem, but in the playoffs, it's 50-50.
Right.
I don't understand that.
Well, another problem, I guess, to try to tackle for another day. All right, so do we have – so that's your only nitpick on the off the bye week? That just wasn't long enough.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay.
That was a tease. I know.
That's all right. Tease. Okay. Practice report today?
Yeah. Like I said, a few more missing, but not a whole lot more. Brandon Bolden, Tracy White, names you've heard before. Aaron Hernandez, whose birthday is today, also celebrating the birth of his daughter.
Wow. They were born on the same day.
Yeah, which could be a factor in why he's not there, but he also wasn't there last week either, so he is still dealing with that ankle problem, presumably. If he's not there tomorrow, you have to think it's more ankle than baby-related.
Hmm. So, Kevin, you're maybe a slight brush with greatness here for you, sharing a birthday with Aaron and his daughter.
I'm just honored. Yeah. Just honored to be here. Honored to be here and honored to be 47.
Now, honored to look 47. You're 27 looking 47.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, he'll like that now, though. Okay.
They were in full pads. Second practice in a row. Last week they had one. Today they've had one. And that's six now on the season.
How many are they allowed by the new CBA?
14 total, 11 have to come in the first 11 weeks if they're going to do that. As many as 11 have to come in the first 11 weeks.
What happens if they could do less then, right?
They could do fewer.
So,
but
they're certainly on track to do less. This is week 10.
They're certainly on track to do fewer than that, but they don't have to make those. Like, they don't have to do.
So they can't bank them for later in the year either?
No, they cannot.
So it's use it or lose it.
If you don't get 11 by week 11, you only have three more after that.
Use it or lose it.
Yes.
Okay. So this is their sixth?
Yes. They haven't gone with pads very much.
So they would have to go every day in pads this week and next week to use their allotment.
Correct.
Because next week's week 11.
Right. If they go the next 3 days this week, they would have to do two next week as well to make up for it.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't see that happening.
I don't see them doing. They might do another week and another day in
practice.
They might
do one more,
week,
but the,
right?
Possibly.
Because it's Tuesday. Normally they don't work on Tuesday.
No. It's possible. They would do one more.
And they would probably do one next week.
Possibly, yeah.
So that would put them to eight.
Yeah.
So that means it's three that they could have done that they didn't do.
Right.
So you can't say that the Patriots have been pushed too hard by Coach Belichick or anyone on the staff because they won't have hit their limit of full pads practices.
And I don't believe they did last year either. In the first year of the CBA with these new rules.
Really?
I don't believe
so. Interesting. And then only three are allowed in the final
Well, yeah, the rule is you have 14 total and 11 have to come in the first 11. So after week 11, you only have three more.
In the final 5 weeks.
Right. And then in the playoffs, if you make it, you have one. You're allowed one a week in the playoffs.
One a week in the playoffs. Which is about normal. That's about normal, right? That's mm-hmm. about how many you'd get is about one per week, right?
Yeah. If you did it, if you wanted to get the full allotment, you'd have to do one a week.
And you're definitely dialing down is what you're doing. I mean, you're trying to dial it down simply because, you know, after a certain amount of time during the season, your body's beat up.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to go out in full pads practice anyway.
Right.
So it's really not as big a deal as it may seem like it is.
Because
you're definitely tapering off with full pads.
Guys hardly ever wear pads now. Game day is one of the few times in the week that the guys
wear pads. I'm trying
to
remember back in the 80s when I was covering the NFL, you know, I was going to Cowboy camp a lot and practices and Houston Oilers and the two teams that I covered back then.
It was mostly full pads, no?
Everything was full pads. Yeah. Everything was full pads.
Training camp, double sessions, full pads.
Anything that was shorts and shells, it was kind of like, whoa, what's up? It was weird.
Yeah, that's the norm.
And then, of course, those were the days of two-a-days during, you know, training camp and
actual two-a-days.
Actual two-a-days where they would practice early in the morning, take off the heat of the day, and then get back out there in the late afternoon. You know, and
those are long gone.
Days are long gone.
Long gone.
But I'm just trying to remember the regular season routine, and as I recall, I don't ever remember shortened shells. That was you might have had it on a rare occasion as a quote unquote reward.
Mm-hmm.
But you were out there in full pads every stinking day.
Now, there's the argument, obviously, from a health standpoint, that probably wasn't a good thing. And, you know, you look at guys who can barely walk now and they're in their 40s or 50s or the dementia problems that a lot of the guys have from all the head injuries. So there's an argument to be made that the NFL is doing the right thing by instituting these. And the players asked for it. Let's not forget. The players asked for this. Fought for it to be in their collective bargaining agreement,
mm-hmm.
and the owners agreed to it. And, you know, the only downside is I don't think they practice enough tackling. And I think that's something that needs to be emphasized way more. I've been beating that drum for a long time now, but I'm going to do it until they fix it, because tackling remains a problem in the NFL.
Sure. I agree. Nobody wraps up anymore.
No.
Doesn't seem like it anyway.
No, and they don't. And there are players who have admitted that they've never had tackling lessons in their lives.
Good grief. That's insane. How can you get to
or
that level?
Or they haven't since they were,
I mean, I don't know how you can get to this level and not be instructed in the proper technique in tackling.
That's because coaches don't focus on it. They don't emphasize it in practice.
Well, I would argue that those coaches are not the best at their jobs.
And most of them aren't then.
Well, then there you go. Because, frankly, the people that win, in my opinion, are the best coaches, the ones that pay attention to detail.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and don't leave anything, you know, uncovered.
You're right.
And I think that's really kind of what's made Bill Belichick such a great coach over time, is because he does, you know, pay attention to every little meticulous detail that's out there. And even then, every once in a while, sometimes, you know, you miss a little something. So, all right, do we hit up all the injuries there and participation?
One last note, Kyle Arrington, who hurt his head, concussion, we believe, against the Rams in London, was back for the first time.
Oh, that's good.
Yep. And Vasante Shenko remains practicing. He's not yet been activated, but that could happen. He's eligible
to come off
now, and he's at practice, so we'll have to wait and see with him.
All right, so once again, webradio at patriots.com, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, John.Rook on Facebook, at jrook0722, Twitter. Couple of things on the table. Number one, your nitpick, if you have some, from the off week, heading into game week here, number 9, week 10 of the NFL against Buffalo coming up this Sunday at Gillette Stadium. You need to vote today, not only where you live, but you need to vote with us today as well. You're voting on your favorite Patriot player currently on the roster,
mm-hmm.
and your favorite Patriot player of all time. And if you want to supply a little birthday wishes to our one Mr. Kevin Collins, we'll let you do that on the show today as well. Okay? Creative birthday wish. I'd like to see that. Maybe we can get some funny ones.
Keep it clean.
Yeah, you got to keep it clean, though, right?
I asked strippers where my present was, and he told me Andy had it, so I don't know what that
Ooh.
Meant.
Oh, that's not, that's, well, then he's probably eating it.
Oh.
little late, but better late than never. All right, so there you go.
And he'll be expelling it shortly thereafter.
Exactly. Then. And we also have, obviously, major news that happened over the course of the last few days. And in addition to the Patriots secondary, even though the team hasn't officially announced it yet, but we're going to talk about it. And we want to get your thoughts. We'll get Eric's thoughts as well on that, on Aqib Talib as the newest New England Patriot and the addition to the secondary. All of that is coming up inside Patriots Playbook. So bring us your votes now.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL 400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G0 19 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASC certified master technicians on staff. Utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval is solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Have a nitpick about this week's game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, John does too.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
Welcome back into the program. John Rook, Eric Scalavino, the rookie, Kevin Collins. We're all in the house today on this Nitpick Tuesday. If you have your nitpicks, if you have something to nitpick from, maybe you didn't get a chance to share it with us last week from the Rams game in London. If you are like, if you're like Eric and you just have a nitpick that, you know, the bye week was too short.
I spent too much time raking leaves.
Maybe you thought it was too long. I don't know. Maybe you don't like bye weeks because you're so much into football. Yeah, I would also ask this question. What did you watch football-wise this weekend? Without the Patriots, what did you watch? Who did you watch? And were you as into it as you normally would be? See, I think that's also a good bye week question. Who are you going to watch this week? Who are you going to pay attention to? So what did you pay attention to?
Well, I spent, it was beautiful weather the whole last 4 days here. And even today, it's great, great weather. So I had to rake my sizable yard from all the leaves that had fallen on their own and from Hurricane Sandy coming through. So I spent three straight days doing that, and on Sunday, when I took a break for lunch, I was flipping back and forth between Cardinals-Packers, which was on my Fox channel, and Bengals-Broncos, which was on my CBS local affiliate. That was only for about an hour. Then I went back outside, finished the yard, and then I caught a good part of the 4 o'clock game, which was Steelers-Giants. That was the national game. Decent game. And then I sort of fell asleep watching Cowboys-Falcons. But I watch games differently when I don't have to work them. You know, when I'm working a game,
I
have to watch, I have to pay
you
more attention to certain things.
Somewhat analytically.
Exactly. I can just sort of veg out and absorb just appreciate the game for what it is when I'm not working.
That's what I did this weekend. I watched,
and I prefer that, honestly.
Yeah,
than having to analyze.
And I
it.
Really enjoy that because normally, you know, if I'm watching the Patriots play,
your mind is going and thinking about 8 million different things,
and you don't really get a chance to appreciate it or enjoy it.
No.
So I get a chance to do obviously a lot more of that this weekend.
Yeah.
And we watched. What did we watch, rookie? What did we watch?
We watched Buffalo.
Yeah, we have to watch Buffalo just because it's
a
opponent.
I have a ticket, right?
Yeah, I have Sunday ticket. So we have
Indy and the Dolphins too.
Yeah, Indy and the Dolphins. We watched that one. Surprised at that. We watched a little bit of Baltimore and Cleveland just because Cleveland gave them hell and almost pulled it off. We watched Dallas, New York. I mean,
Atlanta.
Dallas, Atlanta. Thank you. We did watch New York.
New York and Pittsburgh.
Yep. Which was a good game. It was a very good game.
I like these old Redskins throwback uniforms. Did you see them with the
brown helmet?
The leather helmet?
Oh,
it was a replica leather helmet.
I know, but that's just terrible. That's just ugly. It's just butt ugly. Although, I would tell you that the Steeler uniforms they wore a couple of weeks ago
were great.
No!
Come on!
Are
those horizontal bumblebee stripes?
Oh, my God.
Loved
those
loved
were
it.
Worse than the stupid Denver Broncos uniforms.
I love those, too.
With
the vertical stripes on the socks?
Come on.
Yeah, the uglier the better.
Oh, my God. Remind me not.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
How about the Packers with the circular numbers?
I didn't mind that as much, just because that was the way their jerseys were back in those days.
Well, that's the way the Redskins were back in the day.
I don't like that. That's,
what about the
there's
New
nothing
York Jets,
I like about the Redskins.
New York Titan jerseys.
Those are hideous.
Those are bad, too.
Bad color scheme, though.
Yeah.
Just a bad color.
The blue and the yellow.
The
and
dark blue and that. Yeah, and it doesn't work. Doesn't work.
No. I got to admit, of all the real throwbacks, we're talking about like pre-1960 throwbacks, I don't know that I've really seen anything that I like at all. I mean,
because the Lions are pretty blah.
Yeah, it's just,
when they wear those on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Honestly,
the logo-less.
The throwbacks that I think are as good as any, certainly the Patriots would have to rank up there.
Yeah, the 85s.
But I would say the Cowboys, you know, early 60-61 uniforms were also pretty good.
The white helmet
the white helmet with
the blue star.
Plain blue star. Yeah. Yeah, those weren't bad.
And the big star on the shoulder?
Big star on the shoulder. Because they actually kept those jerseys around as their alternate jersey. For several years. In fact, I think it's still their alternate jersey.
I think it is still their alternate jersey, yeah.
And that technically is a throwback from 1960.
Yeah.
When they first, launched. You know, when they first came into play as a They were an expansion franchise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cowboys were in 1960. So, yeah. I don't really like a lot of the throwbacks, though. Really, just not a big fan of it. Just because everything was so bland, blah, colorless. I mean, you know, just like, come on.
Not those Steelers uniforms.
No, those were ridiculous. Those were absolutely ridiculous. I mean, can you imagine having to focus on that and try to follow those numbers on the field? Oh, awful. Absolutely awful. All right, so let's get to the point. And by the way, nobody's voting. I've gotten two votes back. That's it. Two. Two votes. Seriously, is this what we have to look forward to tonight? Is listening to all these political commentators chastise the American public for lack of interest in the presidential election?
Apathy.
Apathy. Come on. Really? You're telling me that you don't have a favorite player on the team now and a favorite player of all time? That you can't take 2 seconds to tweet or to email or to call or come on or Facebook or whatever.
We're not even going to check your identification.
No, I'm not checking your ID. As I had my ID checked today.
I'm
state rule.
That's good.
I think it's smart.
Absolutely,
it's smart. You got to
anywhere
do
you go, you got to prove who
gotta
you
do
are.
Got to do it.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. But nobody's voting. Favorite Patriot player of past and present. I'll get to yours in a couple.
Yeah, no problem.
But please, I mean, come on. Is this really such a bad idea for today? Did I blow this one today? Did I blow this call?
No.
Nobody's voting.
Maybe they're waiting to get out of work.
You don't have to. Just two names.
You don't have to avoid the line either.
Send two names, and anybody can do a web radio at patriots.com.
No standing in line here.
Come on.
None.
What the hell is the deal? What's up with you? Apathetic, you know. Come on. Voters, let's go. What are your thoughts on Aqib Talib? Are you like the mainstream? And
I'm going to write my commentary about this week because I'm up for that. That assignment.
Then
but I'll give you a little
sneak
preview.
Yep.
Football wise, they improved their roster at a position where they desperately needed improvement.
Right.
I don't like the person, and I know I'm going to be sounding idealistic here, but I would rather lose with winners than win with losers. And I think the team feels otherwise. And they've proved that by going after a guy like this.
Well, I would have to admit, and this has been some of the commentary in the media, especially the print media around here since the trade went down last week, or, you know, yeah, last week, right?
Yeah, Thursday.
Last Thursday.
Yep.
Because it happened right after we got off the air with the program.
Yeah.
But what happened is that this team, as we all know, has subscribed to what we like to call the Patriot Way.
Mm.
And the Patriot Way probably personifies, encompasses several different things, not the least of which is comportment, both personal and professional.
On and off the field.
And what this does signal, and this is what I happen to agree with a lot of the pundits that are out there writing about this does signal now that this team is willing to, let's just say, give guys that have exactly been there a second chance.
I think the signal came.
Or third chance.
I think the signal came a while ago.
Well, of
honestly.
Course it did. You got to go back a ways, but I mean, you know, hey, Corey Dillon worked out pretty well. Randy Moss worked out okay, ended poorly. Obviously, Albert Haynesworth didn't pan out at
Never
all.
Never worked.
Chad Ochocinco, while he was a good citizen, he didn't work out talent wise.
No, and let's not forget, Chad doesn't really. I don't put Chad in that category of bad guy. You know, he wasn't.
Yeah!
He wasn't in trouble, you know, except for that, you know, it ended badly when he was in Miami with his
yeah.
wife.
Yes.
But when he was here, he never had any legal problems. He was, you know, he had maturity issues and, you know, self-esteem and all that nonsense. But he was never I never looked at him as like a bad seed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where Corey Dillon did some bad things, you know.
But while he was here?
But while he was here, he
was great.
Yeah.
People love him. People look back on Corey Dillon like that's not the same guy
right.
that, you know, was pre-Patriot, you know, that took the rap that right. he did, you know, for playing in Cincinnati.
And for the most part, Moss was a good citizen.
Moss was
here.
A good dude while he was here, too, for the most part. It ended
right.
poorly, but, you know, for the first, 3 years plus he was here, he was great.
Right. So, I want to give Talib the benefit of the doubt because I've never met him, talked to him. I might have talked to him at the combine, but I don't recall. Everyone deserves second chances. This is his second NFL chance. So we'll, you know, what's the word? not even cautiously optimistic. It's I'm very guarded.
You're guarded, but it sounds to me then like you are a little disappointed just from the tone of your voice in the Patriot way changing. Because it has. And the move to bring in players like Aqib Talib, like Albert Haynesworth, like Chad Johnson, the move to bring in guys like
tells
this,
me they'd rather win with losers than lose with winners.
Win with losers than lose with winners.
Yeah.
Is it really that way?
I think so.
Wow. Really?
Again, I got to give the guy the benefit of the doubt because I've never met him. We'll hopefully talk to him next week when he arrives.
It is all about winning.
But,
okay,
you know,
we also are realizing
he brings
again,
a hell of a lot of baggage.
He brings baggage. I think it's very clear, and the baggage is obviously well documented.
And I worry about whether or not he will disrupt the locker room with his presence.
See, I still think that there's enough veteran presence, even though it's largely it's the youngest team that we've seen around here in some time. But there's still enough veteran presence from the real leaders, you know, the Bradys, the Wilforks, if you will, and even some of the younger veterans that, you know, and even Logan Mankins has spoken about that. Mankins did earlier today, he spoke about it, or yesterday as it was, that, you know, he's like, you know, hey, I think he'll be in here and he'll see the guys. And
Logan Mankins?
Yeah, Logan Mankins did that earlier. Yeah,
certainly not today because I was in the locker
room. Then it was yesterday.
Where was he yesterday?
I'm not sure, but he was quoted. It was on his interview on Patriots Monday.
Logan Mankins?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Where he said, he thinks that, you know, Aqib Talib will be fine.
I hope so.
As long as he just, you know, sticks to the business
of
playing football.
And the reason I have more concern about him in the locker room than say, a Randy Moss or Haynesworth is that this is a guy who has fought with teammates before.
Yes, I know. We do know.
Did it at the rookie symposium?
I just don't.
At the rookie symposium.
I think guys.
And then in practice as a Buccaneer, he threw a helmet at a guy. And
yes.
So that's why I have legitimate concerns about what he's going to do in here.
And I think it's right that you have the concerns. But at the same time, you know, for instance, Mark Mangino, his college coach at Kansas, was quoted earlier today as saying that he thought Talib was one of the easiest guys he ever had to work with while he was in school. Now, obviously, this is before he went to the pro ranks and, you know, everything happened. But all I'm saying is that. And the quote included that, you know, he's very excited about this opportunity, realizing that he's a chance now to be a big gun here.
And that's why.
And he's got to play for a contract for next year because he comes a free agent.
Yes, he does.
So this is basically a 7-week tryout for him. And then, of course, playoffs on top of that.
And
so
that's
there should be sufficient motivation there.
There is. And so that's why I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt and give him his chance. He has a chance now to prove us wrong.
You want
to
get high?
More than that. It's a lot more than that, but
all right.
He deserves his chance, and when he comes here, we'll give him every opportunity, just like we did with Haynesworth and Ocho and Moss and Dylan and all those guys that have come before him.
Hmm. All right, Melvin in Tennessee, you're up in the playbook. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Well, I'll just start with my favorite parent, of course. I mean, that's kind of dry, but Tom Brady, I'm pretty sure a lot of people are going to say that.
Yeah.
But pass, I think I have to go with Kevin Falk.
Really?
I admire the ultimate team player. I absolutely love that. Love it.
Okay.
You know, come in, does his job, and that's it. Doesn't cause problems. Great guy. I'd have to say that.
All right. So Brady as the present player, Falk as the past player, your favorites.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Personal favorites. And let's see. As far as the Rams games, those are a nitpick, and this is, of course, the smallest nitpick. If we ever learn to defensively, every now and then, just to get the game established, then don't always let them go down and score a touchdown. Like, they haven't been practicing this week, or they have no idea what's going on. Or just, like, reminiscent of that same look like, it just feels like to me whenever I watch it sometimes that looks like we didn't practice, or the safeties are still slow to realize things, and we got people wide open. But, you know, during the game, they picked it up, and that was great. Absolutely love that. But just always the sluggish, slow start at times for some odd reason. I'd say that'd be my only nitpick.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. Well, what are your thoughts on Talib, Melvin?
Oh, you know I absolutely love that idea. I think that bringing in somebody that can actually play and has been around is great. I've just heard Eric with the you know, the concerns about his attitude, which is a huge problem, but, you know, that's New England. I'm pretty sure I'm going to throw that out the window. Once he gets there, I'll evaluate him there. And if he's, you know, what you did in the past, but if you go to that locker room, trying to cause problems, throwing helmets, all that type of stuff, I'm pretty sure you'll be gone in a week. Your locker will be empty. So,
Eric is raising his eyebrows on that one, Melvin.
Well, they're not going to get rid of him that quickly. They just gave up a fourth-round pick for him.
Yeah, I think he's – I don't think – I mean, here's the problem. Now, I don't think that he's going to be willing to come in here and mess things up because, again, guy is playing for a contract. He's still on the last year of his rookie deal. So he's got 7 weeks now, and if the Patriots are fortunate enough to continue winning, they'll get into the playoffs. He might have another week or two thereafter. But he's basically got 7 chances now to prove himself once he becomes eligible and comes off his PED suspension. And he's got to basically do a whole season worth of activity in 7 weeks to play for a contract. So if you're not on your best behavior, you're an idiot. And of course, that's what we're hoping, that he realizes that too.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would be on his best behavior. And like, for the most part, people tend to straighten up once they come to New England. A little bit more.
That's true. And really, the only exception to that rule is Haynesworth. But Haynesworth, while he didn't really disrupt, Haynesworth just didn't offer anything.
Yeah, didn't
I mean, he was
anything.
A complete and total athletic bust. And that's what we're hoping. I mean, it's one thing if Tlaib, you know, is a good citizen while he's here. We certainly hope that to be the case. But we expect him already to be the best defensive back on this roster. Coming in, talent-wise, he may very well be. And if he comes in as an athletic bust, secondary still in trouble.
Right. So, I mean, I can agree with you more there. I mean, I've read some on the post that feel that, you know, that he's more of a man-to-man guy. And whenever I watch the games, New England doesn't seem to like to want to get aggressive. They play a lot of zones. So I don't know exactly what they're going to fit in or what they're really going to do with them. But
fit the players to your scheme. Fit the players to your scheme.
Yeah, the players that got to fit to your scheme. Or you got.
I mean, I'm sorry.
The other way around.
You got
to fit the scheme to the players.
Exactly.
You have to, because coaches that don't fit the scheme to the players are losing coaches. And I think that's part of the problem, in all honesty, Melvin. I think that's been part of the problem with some of the offensive inconsistencies that we've seen this year. I don't think until recently that we've seen Josh McDaniels in particular adjust what he wants to do to the players he has. And I think we've just seen that over the last few weeks. And look what happened against the Rams. Bang. Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It took them a while to get it going. But like I said, I mean, overall, generally, I like to see what it offers. I mean, we can't get any worse as far as that goes. So just bring in somebody else and see how it works.
Okay.
So.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Thanks, Melvin. Appreciate the call. Here's our good friend, Kat, in Chicago. Hey, Kat.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, Kat.
Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, so you're voting first, right?
I am. For current player, I got to go with Vince Wilfork.
Okay. All right, you know what? I'll go ahead and give mine because she just mentioned it. He's my favorite current player.
Vince?
Vince is.
Really? So you got 2 votes for Vince?
So you got Vince for I got Vince down for 2. I agree with you. Now let's see if we agree on why, Kat. Why is Vince your favorite player right now?
I think he's a leader for the team. I think he's I think he's one of the best defensive tackles in the league. He's, you know, it's not uncommon to see him double, sometimes even triple teamed. He has the skills. He's just a force to be reckoned with. And he's a great guy, too. I mean, he lives the, you know, you were just talking about the Patriot way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's involved. I'm not sure there's much more you could ask of a guy on your team.
Yeah, you kind of danced around a little bit. The main reason that Vince is my favorite player is because he just goes to work. He brings his lunch pail. He's not particularly overly vocal about things, but he's got that presence, both physically and otherwise, that lets you know he's there. And he commands respect, and he does his job. And if we had 22 guys doing their job, this team might be 8-0 right now. So that's why I like Vince, just because guy does his job. And another reason is it usually does take 2 or 3 guys to block him.
Mm.
I mean, he's a force. He's a presence. I think he's one of the best defensive players in the entire NFL.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
All right. And then favorite Patriot of all time?
Well, I have to go with a guy that I just always enjoyed watching him play. I still miss him. and that's Rodney Harrison.
Okay.
I love Rodney. A lot of people say that, you know, I think he should go to the Hall of Fame. I know a lot of people, you know, he doesn't seem to get the same respect that I think he deserves, but the guy had over, you know, he's a 30-for-30 guy, 30 interceptions, 30 sacks. I don't know, you know, for a defensive back, that's...
The numbers are certainly there, Kat. I think what's holding Rodney back is the fact that he was for so long considered a dirty player.
Right.
And I don't think he made many friends off the field that way. And he was never one to withhold how he felt about things. He spoke his mind. And
let's also keep in mind that there's, you know, been an instance of HGH in his career as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that will Absolutely. That will definitely tarnish him at some point, if it hasn't already.
Yeah, I agree. But I miss seeing him. I like seeing him doing the commentary, but I still miss him on the field. The difference that he made
absolutely
on our team, you know, when he was off the field versus when he was on the field, they played a different way.
Yeah.
They were tougher. They, you know, I wish that we had someone like that still.
Yeah, okay. I think that's legitimate, and I can understand why you would vote for that, because you like the toughness. You like the players bringing the swag a little bit. I totally get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what are your thoughts then on Tlaib?
You know, I'm not as worried about it as I think Eric is. I think he'll be an upgrade if he doesn't work out. I mean, the way that I look at it is we were probably not going to draft a starting corner with a fourth round pick. We're taking the chance on getting a starting corner. So to me, that trade-off is worthwhile. I think he'll toe the line. And, you know, and if he doesn't, then they'll suspend him or they'll cut him. Or I don't think they'll cut him. I think probably what will happen is, you know, he'll get suspended or they'll, you know, you never know.
Well, but they only have 7 games. I mean,
yeah. Well, that's what I mean. I think he'll toe the line. I hope, you know, I don't know that much about him. I don't know. Obviously, he's got a lot of negatives on his rap sheet coming in, but... I hope he'll be smart enough to realize that this is his shot, and that if he screws this up, he's gone.
Yeah, he's done. So. I hope you're right.
Well, there's a tremendous amount of financial responsibility riding on this for him, because you're right. If he messes this up, he's not going to get offered another contract. Somebody might take a shot at him, but it's not going to be for the kind of money that he certainly commanded even as a rookie coming out of Kansas.
Right.
So, you know, I think Greg Schiano kind of gave him every bit of the opportunity to correct things, and I guess it just didn't work out. And I'm sure, you know, Schiano and Belichick, as they know each other, kind of said, hey, look, you know, he'd kind of stepped out of our plans, but I think he's got potential. And so I think that's part of the reason why the Patriots agreed to give up a fourth for him, because I think there is that relationship there. And the Patriots obviously are banking on him realizing that he's only got a short amount of time and a short window of time in order to really play for another contract. And the Patriots know that, you know, they certainly need the help. I personally love the move simply because you can't really lose anything here. You could lose a fourth round pick, but you got a 7th in return anyway. So you could definitely lose the fourth round pick. But to me, this is an absolute no-brainer, because he immediately upgrades your ability to cover in the secondary. Now, he does get burnt. Most cornerbacks do. Most cornerbacks don't survive without, you know, getting, you know, toasted a couple of times. But his athleticism is such where you can easily match him up with the number one receiver on the other team and say, okay, Aqib, he's your guy. Guard him. And then you can use the other guys, any other combination you want, to take everybody else out, because you know Tlaib is going to be able to cause enough problems for the opposing offense to help take a number one guy out of the equation. And of the teams that they have left on their schedule, especially when you're talking playoffs, what Tlaib can do is take some of these bigger receivers out of the equation,
because
he's got size.
6'1", 205.
So that's what I'm loving about this deal. To me, I'm like, what the hell took you so long? And I realized, you know, certain number of things had to break down wrong for him in order for, you know, a guy like that to become available to us. But at least the Patriots recognized it, and at least they're taking a shot here. And I think as a fan and as someone who follows the team, really that's all you can ask here is for them to step up and take a shot.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, too, if some of that early career stuff, the fighting at the rookie symposium and the helmet, hitting his teammate with the helmet stuff. I mean, I wonder, too, this guy got drafted highly. You know what I mean? He was, what was he, 20th or something like that when they drafted him?
I believe so. Overall? Yeah, I think 20th is right, yeah.
And I wonder if that's, you know,
is that right, rookie?
I think,
yeah, 20th.
I think sometimes these guys get kind of a you know, an ego thing that happens, and they puff themselves up, and they think, you know, I'm the man. And you know, I'm hoping that over the past, you know, couple years, he's realized, hey, maybe I'm not the man, and maybe I do need to toe the line, and, you know, and gained maybe a little bit of maturity to combat that a little bit. So
let's also say
that's
that,
my hope.
Sure, and let's also say here that, you know, he's already said, you know, through certain channels here, because the Patriots can't have any official contact with him until after the Buffalo game is over this week. But let's also suggest here that, you know, he's probably pretty fired up about coming to New England. He's got a chance not only to be in the playoffs, he's got a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And that usually has a way of firing people up. It happened with Corey Dillon. It happened with Randy Moss. I see no reason why it cannot happen with Aqib Talib.
Well, yeah. The only reason you can cite is Albert Haynesworth. Didn't happen with him.
That's true.
Even though he said week after week that he was
looking forward to
the best opportunity.
Yeah,
but
yada,
Haynesworth
yada. Clearly still couldn't play. I mean, he was done. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Haynesworth had the reputation of being lazy from day one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This
right.
guy doesn't have that reputation. To me, I don't think it's that. I don't think anything fires Haynesworth up. I think he's just a lazy guy who, you know, he could see if he could make a few million dollars playing in the NFL.
That's
and
a good point.
Not living up to his potential. And this guy, I don't think the knock on him has ever been lazy. It's
no,
been,
I'm just,
you know,
I'm just skeptical. Yeah, I'm just skeptical about his ability to just turn the switch and be a goody-goody when he gets here.
Yeah,
well, he doesn't have to be a goody-goody.
Right.
Just do your job.
Yeah.
Well, part of doing your job is not getting in trouble when you're not here.
Well, but, I mean, okay, so he's going to live in a hotel for 7 weeks.
And not getting in trouble
weeks,
when you are here.
He's going to live in a hotel for 7 weeks. How much trouble can you get into?
I know you're not serious. I know you're not
okay,
serious.
I'm sorry. I tried to keep the poker. I tried to keep the poker face, Pat. I couldn't do it. Sorry.
Not the right question.
Yeah. Probably not. But you know, okay, you get the gist of it anyway. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of time. He's got to be studying playbook. He's got to be studying film. He's got to be learning his teammates. His teammates had to be learning him. Before you know it, boom, it's going to be over with. You know, and then we're talking playoffs, and then, you know, hopefully he'll be ingrained where, you know, the best thing that can happen to him is for him to get involved right away. Let's throw him out there, see if you can get him a pick. Because you get him a pick or a big stop or something like that early, you know, in that first game against the Colts, you know, hopefully where he'll get a chance to play, then you've got positive momentum and everybody's behind him and everybody's rooting for him. And I think he's the kind of guy that could probably use that.
Agreed.
Okay. Kat,
okay.
Thank you.
Take care, Kat.
Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Talk to you soon. Kat in Chicago. Time for you, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Pick up the phone and vote. Ooh. Vote. Yeah, I know, it's late.
Wow.
You know, you
got to
vote.
We're having so much fun here.
We're sitting here having a great conversation, but you got to vote. Favorite Patriot present, favorite Patriot past. Okay, that's what we're doing today.
Okay.
You're voting. You got to do your duty. You got to get to the polls. You got to make it happen. Did you vote?
I didn't.
Then vote.
Okay. Favorite, what do you want to start with, the current?
Present.
Present, I will go with Rob Ninkovich.
Really?
My favorite, yeah. Good guy. I like his underdog story. I like the way he has, you know, worked his way into the league and become a starter and even a playmaker almost.
In a sense.
At this point, in a sense, yeah.
Very, very
and
Mike.
He's a nice guy
very,
to talk to.
Very Mike Vrabel-like in a lot of ways, just from his impact, I think, defensively.
Yeah, and part of that, obviously, is that he's a nice guy to talk to, unlike some of them.
Yeah,
and my vice favorite currently would be Nico Kudavides.
Really?
Yeah. Same reason. Good guys to talk to, and just very underrated. This is a guy who's been in the league, what, nine? How long has Nico been in the league? He's a
that
lot longer
long?
Than anybody
has
thought.
He really?
He is a ninth year. He's in his ninth year out of Purdue, just like Ninkovich, by the way.
Two Purdue guys.
Yeah.
So you're a Boilermaker.
Well, no, not, it just happened that way, but... I think both are, you know, guys you can root for.
Okay.
Guys you can root for. All-time favorites?
Yeah.
I mean, a guy, I always thought this, but now that I've gotten to know him, I feel even stronger about it, and that's Andre Tippett. And he's clearly, he was always my favorite one when I was a kid, but I know him now, and we're buds. So
that's good.
I have to give that. And my vice is another guy who I always liked when I was growing up. And I've gotten to know him a little bit through this job, and that's Steve Grogan.
Ah, I was wondering if you were going to bring that up. Because Steve Grogan is mine.
Yeah.
He's my favorite all-time past Patriot, Steve Grogan.
Yeah.
And I say that with all due respect to my broadcast partner, Pete Brock, who is a close, I would say he'd be 1A just because I have to do college football games with him every week. But yeah, exactly. But Pete's a great guy, and he was a darn good football player. And I would also have to put Steve Nelson in that category as well.
Yeah, Nelly's a really good guy, too. That's tough. He would probably be my Secretary of State. How's that?
Should we just have an all-time Patriots cabinet?
I am going to fill up my cabinet, yeah.
I like it. All right, very good. All right, good choices.
And very quickly, word of the day. You want one?
Oh, yeah.
He's already ready. Look at that.
He was waiting.
Ladies and gentlemen, John's favorite part of the program. All ages.
The intro.
It's time to pull up your britches.
Pardon me while I get my nose in the air.
Argyle sweaters. Puff on your corn cob pipes and gather around the fire for Eric Scalavino's word.
You can get out of Brock's behind first.
That's right. All right, baby. Word of the day.
All right. Extant.
Extant.
E-X-T-E-N-T? A-N-T.
Oh, extant.
Extant.
Yes. Rookie, do you just took the SATs. What does extant mean?
Yeah, I didn't do too well. So.
Oh crap!
All right, I love one of the things I love to do is give you words that sound like other words.
Yeah,
but extant sounds like extinct.
Yes, it does.
It also happens to be the antonym of extinct. So
really?
If something is extant, it is in existence.
In existence.
It is currently existing.
It's happening, baby.
So, to tie in with today, who is your favorite extant Patriot? Well, I don't want to say extinct for the other one, but you know.
Extant Patriot.
Extant Patriot.
And extinct Patriot. That's
no,
what we're
talking about. No, I don't want to talk about extinct Patriots.
Okay.
But,
well, as far as an active player.
Active player, one who's currently in existence, that would be extant.
I like that.
So there you go.
It's
I always try to tie it in.
You tie it into what we're talking about. I like that.
I do my best.
That's a good job by
and
you.
And I do that beforehand. So a lot of times this is all very organic. See, and it just...
He's always got the brain thing going because he's always working on it. I can tell he puts serious thought into it.
I certainly do.
He does. He puts serious thought into it. And you can tell by looking at him because there's not a hair follicle on his head.
Wow, that's a gratuitous shot. And on that note, I'm leaving. Good day, sir.
Good day to you, sir. Love it. All right, see you tomorrow. All right, let's take a break. Don't forget to vote. Do it now, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Or just send an email. Come on, it's not that hard. Webradio@patriots.com. John.Rook, Facebook, @JRook0722, Twitter. Go!
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff. Utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval is solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hooked up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Do your civic duty. Vote early and often on this program, but vote. That's part of the theme of the day. Obviously, it's National Election Day here on this side of the pond, but you know what, UK Pats, or if you're outside of the country, you can certainly participate in this greatest of American traditions and vote for your favorite Patriot player, past and present. That's what we're looking for today. 508-298-0398. Here's David in California. David, you're in the playbook.
Hello?
Hey, David, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Great, great, great. What's going on today?
You know, at the office, working.
Did you vote yet?
Not yet. That's why I called.
Okay. But, I mean, did you vote for your local offices and president, too, and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. I did that this morning.
Okay, good job. Good job out of you, then. All right, so you're eligible to vote. So what about your present favorite Patriot?
My present favorite Patriot has to be Danny Woodhead.
Okay. I'm not surprised that he would get some votes. I really believe that, because he sort of personifies, you know, the everyman, the underdog, right? Being the little guy out there.
Yeah, you know, he comes from a no-name, Division II college out in the Midwest.
Shadron State, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, undersized, not fast enough, not strong enough.
Right.
But he defied all the odds, and he's just doing great. He's definitely an inspiration to call us regular folk.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I don't think that there's anything that Danny can do bad. He might perform poorly or miss a block or whatever, but I would never say he was bad at anything, because the fact is he's where he is because he's already an overachiever. So he's already a big winner in my book, no matter what he does.
Absolutely.
All right, and how about favorite Patriot from the past?
Well, you know, Danny Woodhead, he reminds me a lot of Kevin Falk.
So you're going to vote for Falk. That's two votes.
I'm going to vote for Falk.
Two votes for Kevin Falk. All right. Very good. Yeah, you know, Woodhead has sort of fulfilled that Falk role, as we've talked about many times here on the program. And Kevin was just the reliable, you know, guy that you could always count on to get you whatever it was you needed, short of, yeah, I guess, the infamous 4th-and-2. But, you know, he still, he sort of personified, I think, along with Troy Brown, really what that whole Patriot way, there's that saying again, but what the Patriot way has meant for really the last 10 to 15 years, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the Jets were a fool. They really were fools to let him go.
Well, there's no question about that, but I think we all realize that, you know, that just the Jets come by foolishness, honestly.
Yeah.
So, all right, and then very quickly, David, what are your thoughts on bringing in Aqib Talib?
Aqib Talib, you know, any young football player is going to realize the opportunity. You know, I mean, this is such a great opportunity. He didn't get picked up by Cleveland. He got picked up by the New England Patriots. So I think if he has any kind of sense in his head, he will do everything he can to exploit this opportunity.
I can't understand how he could think anything but that. Just because, you know, gosh, he doesn't have a contract for next year. These guys realize that they want to play ball because they can make great money playing ball. You know, and I'm sure he's probably understands that, you know, he hasn't been the best of citizens. But sometimes, you know, guys kind of let their emotions get the best of them. They don't know how to channel it properly because there's just been nobody to guide them. There's been nobody to mentor them. There's been nobody to tell them, dude, you can't do that. Because athletes a lot of times just don't get told that. They pretty much have their way with just about anything they do on almost every walk of life. So here's a guy that, and I'm not going to judge, but I will tell you that here's a guy that probably hasn't had a whole lot of guidance. And I would tell you that, you know, at least his college coach, Mark Mangino, thinks he's a pretty good guy to get along with because he had a good experience with him at Kansas. So clearly the potential is there to continue to be a good guy. And, and when you consider some of the stuff he's gotten into has basically been to defend his sister, well then, okay, it doesn't make it right. I understand. I'm not excusing it, but I can understand it. It's not something maybe you or I would do. I mean, I don't go around pistol whipping people, but at the same time, I can understand. It just, you got to rethink things, and maybe he just hasn't done that as well in the past, and now he's got a chance. Okay, I need to focus now because I'm playing for a contract, and I got a chance to do something this year, and this, my future could be at stake, and I really believe that's how he's going to react to this, and I think Talib has a chance to be a smash hit home run for the Patriots.
Absolutely. He's a first-round pick for a fourth-round pick. It's a gamble. I'll take it.
Sure.
You know, and if he's gonna get the guidance and the discipline anywhere in this league, it's going to be New England.
There's no question about that. If there's any place in this league for him to succeed, it's here.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely is here. And in that regard, that's one of the reasons why he should be fired up and why the Patriots should be fired up to have him, because he can make a difference in the backfield. And I could see him and probably Alphonso Dennard, at least talent-wise. I think they may be the best corners we have. And I would love to slide McCourty over to safety. And then let's take our chances with everybody else kind of filling in the gaps.
Absolutely.
I think that's our best defensive secondary, talent-wise.
Absolutely.
I really
Absolutely.
Believe strongly in that. And so I hope that we'll see some of that kind of a combination. And then I think the defense can continue to make great strides in this second half of the season.
Absolutely.
Good stuff, David.
All right. Well, I got a couple quick gripes.
Go.
If that's all right with you.
Go right ahead.
The first gripe I have is when they send Welker to catch the punts, it just makes me nervous. It really does. Because if he goes, tries to pick up 5 or 10 yards and just gets smashed. I mean, these guys are coming down the field full speed. He's too much of a valuable player to be picking to be catching punts. I don't like it.
Well, that's long been a nitpick, to be honest with you, David. And I think what we've come to realize is that this is just the role that the Patriots have sort of embodied for a guy like Wes Welker. And while we realize that it's not the optimum situation for him, I mean, they have Julian Edelman that's done it in the past. They've had Devin McCourty do it in the past. They've had a couple of others do it in the past. But Wes is their most reliable back there. And so because of the reliability back there, I think that they would love to really pawn that off, if you will, to a guy like Edelman, you know, full time. But even Edelman hasn't been healthy a lot. So when Edelman's healthy, they will put him back there over Welker. But save for that, if they know that they need to make sure that, you know, that a short punt is fielded properly, then Welker's going to be their guy. And I just think that's one of the things we're going to have to kind of get used to. Now, I'm one of those that doesn't subscribe to, in other words, I don't think Wes Welker's going to be here next year. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I just don't see the Patriots shelling out the dough for him next year. And because of that, you know, we may not see him have to field too many more punts the rest of this year or any other year. And that'll become some other team's problem or pleasure. So I'm not so sure that that's going to be a huge nitpick for the foreseeable future.
You know, it would be a shame because, you know, I don't want Welker to end up like Randy Moss, because he's a phenomenal slot receiver in New England. Who knows if he can do the same thing somewhere else?
Well, he was a phenomenal slot receiver in Miami, and that's why the Patriots went out and got him, because that was the classic, hey, if you can't beat him, join him. I mean, Welker ripped him a new one. When he was a Dolphin,
right.
When you
you're
remember.
Right.
So, I mean, he'll be older, and that's the only thing that might stop him. But the thing is that he'll have to go to a team that employs the same type of slot receiver system as they do in New England for him to be most effective. If somebody tries to line him up and split him out wide to make him the one or the two, that ain't happening, because he's not stretching any fields for you.
5, 6, 7 yards, that's his game.
Well, that is his game, and that's why he's done what he's done. And so that's why I think that, you know, his best bet would be to, you know, see if he can't, you know, ask his agents to make a play to stay in New England, because this is where he's going to have his most glory. It's where he's going to have his most success, and I will argue it's probably where he's going to get his most money. Because unless a team employs a similar system, who's going to shell out $11, $12, $13 million a year? And the answer is no one.
So that's what they're giving him, but what was he asking for?
I don't think he's asking for anything. I don't know that it's been public. I think the Patriots would do well by giving him, say, 3 years and about $27 million. That would be my guess. Now, if they franchised him next year, he would get 11.5, 11.5. And there's just no way they're going to pull the franchise tag on him next year. They could. I don't think they will. If Wes, you know, is thinking smart, he'd agree to that. Because at $11.5 million a year, he'd be one of the highest paid, you know, players in the game, certainly at receiver. But if he really wants to think about, you know, being here and being successful and thriving within the system, you know, if the Patriots go for, you know, 3-27, I'd say sign me up.
Absolutely.
I don't think they will. And I don't think Wes will. I think Wes will think that he could probably get $30 million somewhere else. And if he does, you know what? Godspeed.
Yeah, you want to go get $30 million in Oakland or Tampa Bay or Dallas, go ahead, but I'd rather win.
There you go. There you go. That's it. And I think that's ultimately what's got to be decided here. I just don't know that the Patriots have – I don't know that they're going to want to tie up that kind of money in basically four players, because Tom Brady's cap number next year is going to be big, and you've got Gronk and Hernandez who you've just re-signed, and then you've got – if you re-sign Welker to that kind of a deal, you're tying up an awful lot of money in four players. And I think, I think fundamentally, that's again what the Patriots want to do.
Yep, I see Welker. You know, I see. Obviously, they're going to keep Brady. They're going to keep Hernandez. They're going to keep Gronkowski. They'll get rid of Welker.
That's kind of how I'm looking at it, bro. I mean, I wish I could think differently. I hope it happens differently. I just don't expect it to.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Did you have any other nitpicks?
Just one other quick one. You know, they brought in Gaffney. They brought in Stallworth. They brought in Lloyd, but these by NFL standards, these are small receivers. These are what? These guys are 6 foot, 6'1", maybe 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
Give me a 6'4", 6'5" receiver. Give me someone.
Where are they?
Give me a Musk. Give me a tall receiver.
Where are they?
Run them down the field and just have Brady just lob it up in the air.
But where are they?
Where are they? Give me a big, tall, athletic receiver.
But that's what I'm asking you. Where are they? Because if we could find them, we'd go get him.
I don't know.
I'm saying. They don't exist. Other than Megatron in Detroit, where else are you going to find Calvin Johnson? You're not.
They're playing basketball. I don't know where they are.
Yeah, that's right. They're playing basketball. That's exactly right. You know, so, I mean, those guys don't grow on trees like some of these other guys do. So that's the problem. I agree with you. In theory, it'd be awesome to have someone like that. I just don't think they exist. And even if they do, guys like that are going to get snapped up in a draft before you have a chance to grab them.
First round, second round.
Exactly. No, not second round. First round. Those guys don't last into the second round. If a guy's worth anything, if he's a 6'4" receiver in college, rest assured, Mel Kiper knows about him right now, and he's going to be, at worst, a 28th or 29th selection. And that might be your only shot. And the Patriots haven't done that in the past. You remember, they've drafted high with receivers late for early second round in the past and have been burned on it within the last 5-6 years. So, you know, unless these kids are just, you know, still growing up, those guys don't exist.
And who knows if one of them will come around and Brady will even still be playing, you know?
That's another issue, too. That's exactly right.
All right, well, I got to get back to work, but I appreciate you guys taking the time.
Good stuff, David. Thanks for the phone call, babe.
No problem.
All right, so David in California. Time for you, 508-298-0398. Again, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We need for you to vote for your favorite Patriot present and your favorite Patriot past. You can send the email to webradio@patriots.com or hit me up on Facebook, John.Rook, or send a tweet at JRook0722 or pick up the dead gum phone and vote. Do your civic duty as a member of Patriots Nation, for goodness gracious sakes. In fact, Joshua sent this email because I said earlier in the last hour, I said nobody's voting. And he says, I am not nobody, damn you. I am somebody and I voted. He did. And so, because of that, Joshua, I'm going to read your vote via email first. How about that? Joshua, who's sending this email from Washington, D.C., says his best present player, favorite Patriot player present, is Tom Brady. So that makes two votes for Mr. Brady. Best all time, and I'm a little surprised he hasn't popped up until now, Teddy Bruschi. And the rookie has his hands raised because it sounds to me like that may be somewhere along the lines of what you were thinking. Is that true?
That is very true.
All right. So, all right, go ahead and vote. Now you got your shot.
Teddy Bruschi. I loved his leadership when he was a member of the team. I love how at the most important moments of the game, he'd always make a play. And I love how he had the determination to come back from his stroke after the third Super Bowl, I'm pretty sure. It was, and come back and play for another few years, which very few guys would ever do. And I think I admire him so much, and he's easily my favorite Patriot player of all time.
Is he the one Patriot player that you ever got an autograph from?
He is.
I thought so. I thought I remembered that. How old were you?
I think 8.
Yeah, right. Was it signed a hat or something, whatever it was?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that's cool. All right, so Bruschi's your favorite Patriot all time. All right, what about present player?
And no one said this yet. I'm surprised. Chandler Jones.
Really?
Chandler Jones.
Well, I think it's because Jones has only played 8 games in his entire NFL career.
Yes, but I love the way he plays the game. I love the way he rushes the passer. I loved him when he was in college at Syracuse. I think he's going to be a star in this league. I think he has JPP potential.
Really?
Yes.
No kidding. Well, Pierre Paul, we had a chance to see when he played at USF years ago, and we liked him back then. And you remember on draft night when he was taken by the Giants, we had a couple of your friends with us at the Giants draft party, and they were like, Who's Pierre? Who's this guy? JPP. And we're saying, hey, just wait. You're going to love this
dude.
Well,
they know who he is now.
Everybody knows who he is now. All right, so you think Chandler Jones has Jason Pierre-Paul potential?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Okay. So you like Chandler Jones as your favorite current Patriot?
Yep.
All right. So a vote for Jones and a vote for Bruschi all time. So, see, it's that easy. It's that easy. Kev, do you want to vote or are you going to wait till last?
I'll vote now.
All right.
Since we're on the topic.
All right, go.
My all-time vote is no-brainer Drew Bledsoe. Was my idol as a kid. May not have been the greatest Patriot of all time, but was number one in my heart.
Well, considering you grew up, I mean, you were the rookie's age during that era, basically,
yeah,
right?
Every kid had his jersey, you know, in my schools,
yeah.
And everything. You know, we all wanted to be him at recess playing two-hand touch. And
right.
He was the guy, and, you know, one of the perks of this job was having a chance to meet him a couple times, so that was really cool.
God, I bet that was cool for you. Yeah.
You know, I still have my folks just moved out of the house that I grew up in, and so you have to go through all your old junk, which you'll probably go through one day.
Yeah.
And you're cleaning out all your toys and all that stuff. But I hung on. I still have an away and home Bledsoe jersey. I have about every card ever made of him and a bunch of, like, posters and plaques. And my most prized possession, two prized possessions probably as a kid, one a hat, a baseball cap that he autographed the brim of, and the other one was I went to a game, I want to say in 96. I was 11, and he was running off the field down in the old Foxborough Stadium, running off the field in the locker room. He threw his stuff up in the stands, and I got one of his sweatpants.
Oh, that's cool.
That was like one of the coolest things ever for me.
Coolest thing I ever got was a chin strap from Jim Bertelsen. when he played. This was 1970.
Wow, that's because everybody remembers him.
Well, he played for the Los Angeles Rams.
So how old were you in 70? Like 35, 40?
Funny. Funny bit. Thank you. I was 11. All right, does that tell you how old I am now?
Somewhat.
Okay. Yeah, do the math. Quick. Let the squirrels start turning.
You're still looking spry, though.
Thank you.
It doesn't matter.
Still looking spry. Yeah, I'm not pushing up daisies yet.
No, he's not. Not even close.
Oh, God.
Well.
Yeah.
And I wrote back on Facebook how jealous I was of that salad you got going
the salad I have on my hair. I know. That's pretty good.
Puts a little vinegar in that thing before he goes to bed every night. Awesome.
Thank you. All right, so Bledsoe's your all-time favorite. Did you tell me who your current is? How about your current?
Yeah, I would have to agree with you guys. I'd say Vince Wilfork.
Wilfork
is my favorite.
Okay. That's three for Wilfork. He takes the lead.
And I'm, again, privileged every Monday when he comes in to do his Patriots Monday hit. You know, I spend a few minutes. It's really
just chatting him up, right?
Yeah, and just, like, you know, walk him down to the locker, or walk him up from the locker room and walk him back down, just catching up with him, and it was cool. Like, you know, when I went to Seattle, I don't go on every trip, as you know, John, but I go on a couple a year. And I saw him just in the hotel lobby and, you know, politely smiled and walked by. You know, wasn't going to say anything or bother him because those guys are, like, in game mode, you
know,
getting ready.
Of course.
But he initiated conversation, came over, said hello, was asking, like, how I was, what I was doing, like, that type of thing. Just shows you the kind of guy he is.
Wow, that's very cool.
Good guy.
See, you know, that's the kind of stuff, though, that... You know, that's the kind of insight in Patriots playbook that you just don't get anywhere else.
No.
Because you have, and Eric as well.
Yeah.
You guys interact with these guys every day.
Yeah.
Every day. So you get to know them as a person outside of their football playing abilities.
Yeah, and I think Eric's choice, or his choices and my choices, were not necessarily relevant entirely of on-field performance, but it was a more overall vote for who the person is, what they stand for, you know, how they are to not only the media, but to people that they work with that may not be players. And, you know, it's nice. It's easy to root for a good guy. And I think that Vince, you know, he has that tough guy persona, but deep down inside, I think he's a big teddy bear. I think he loves his kids, loves his family,
sure.
loves his wife.
Sure.
He's a very family-oriented guy, and he's an easy guy to root for.
Yeah, that's very, very, very good choices. Very good choices. All right, so you still have your chance to chime in here. Send us the note, webradio@patriots.com, and your favorite Patriots past and present. If you want to pick up the phone, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398 to vote, or go to the Facebook page at John.Rook, or go to Twitter at JRook0722. Okay, here's one from Howard in Stratford, Connecticut, who says, current player's favorite, Vince Wilfork. All right, that's four for Vince. His vice favorite is the Gronk. That's our first vote for Gronkowski. But I include the vice favorite votes in here today. We said we were going to do that for Eric. We'll allow that to happen today. If you have, you know, two that you just can't choose from, we'll allow you to split the ballot. All-time players, his favorite is Andre Tippett. All right, so Tippett gets his second vote. And his vice favorite is Russ All-World Francis, the tight end, of course. And I understand that might be, you know, a lot of players from that era of the mid-70s to mid-80s, I think are probably going to get their fair share of votes. Especially since we're talking, you know, the mid-80s anyway for the very first Patriots Super Bowl appearance, but the one that they were cheated out of in, what was it, 76, 77, thanks to Ben Dreith. So a lot of players from that era as well that I believe would certainly be a part of favorites of the past. Jose sends one, and he says his favorite Patriot past is Teddy Bruschi. So that's another vote for Teddy Bruschi, and his favorite Patriot present is Brandon Spikes. You know, I'm not surprised about Bruschi. In fact, Bruschi takes the lead on the past Patriots as we're doing our own exit polling here. Our results tonight, unlike that you'll probably watch on television wherever you may be or listening to whatever, our results are live as they happen. We're tallying the votes as we speak. We're counting all the ballots in the box now.
No hanging chads on playbook.
No hanging
today.
Chads
Absolutely
on the playbook.
Not. No recounts.
No recounts inside the playbook. No, we're going to do it as it happens live. So as soon as you submit your vote, I'm counting it right here. Brandon Spikes is a little like Austin, you taking Chandler Jones, because even though he's still young in his career, he really hasn't started to make a name for himself until now. I mean, you made the argument that this year is where he's really being most effective, and largely that's because he's decided to fill the bill, at one of the middle linebacker spots, and he's made an impact, in stuffing the run and also in, doing some timely blitzing. The Patriots don't do a lot of it, but we've seen him do it over the last few weeks, and Spikes is showing some real activity and some real athleticism.
He's just a beast there in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, he's I think developing quite nicely. So Brandon Spikes gets his first vote as favorite Patriot present. Okay, let's continue here. Emails with Tim in Plano, Texas. All right, Tim, good job out of you. Here we go. No question, his favorite all-time Patriot player is Steve Grogan. Loved his toughness. He hated to lose and showed it. That's what fans love to see. Still remember him running for a touchdown with the neck brace on. No question about that. That's how I view him as well. And so Grogan and Teddy Bruschi are now tied for the lead in the Patriots' past. He has done vice favorites here, and his vice favorite of all time is Rodney Harrison, the master of the extracurricular lessons taught after each play. Cost him many Pro Bowl votes from his peers. It's too bad, since he was really good. That's a good one, too. All right, so a second vote for Rodney Harrison. And as far as current Patriot players, his favorite Patriot present is Wes Welker. It's taken us now. I want to count this because I think this is a bit of an upset. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There are 8 other Patriot players mentioned to this point in time without Welker being mentioned or voted for. That's an upset in its own self, don't you think? I mean, considering what we all talk about with Wes Welker and how this team just wouldn't be what it is without Wes Welker and his overall importance to the offense and how the Patriots were scheming one way earlier in the year and now they've gone back the old way because of Wes Welker, and it's taken 8 other players to be selected before Wes is the favorite? Wow.
It's pretty hard to believe.
That is kind of hard to believe. But he says, Wes Welker, tech guy, need I say more?
Please.
I know. We got a tech fan here.
I'm sorry, who won the game last weekend?
I don't remember. I didn't have to go there, did I? You took care of that for me. Strippers is laughing, by the way. Plus, he has been great for my fantasy teams the last few years. That's very true. He's an MVP in fantasy, without question. And then his vice favorite is Vince Wilfork. Love listening to him talk. Love seeing him play. Waiting for him to bring a long one back to the house. I can understand that. And there's another one for Wilfork, and he's definitely got the lead right now as far as present Patriots. So Wilfork is at the top of the list, and a two-way tie for past Patriots with Grogan and Teddy Bruschi. So let's see who's going to break the tie. If you have not voted, we have 17 minutes left in the program. There is still time for you. 17 minutes left before our polls close. Inside Patriots Playbook. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398. I keep hammering the numbers today and everything else just because I want to make sure that you get a chance to vote. Because you're going to be listening to this podcast. For those of you that weren't listening to it live, you listen to the podcast later and you're going to go, damn, I wish I got a chance to vote. And see, it's just not going to count because the voting polls will be closed. So that's why if you're listening now and you're thinking, oh, I'll do it later, uh-uh.
Time's a ticking.
Yes, that's exactly right. Mike in Florida, Canadian Mike in Florida, says, top Pat right now, easy pick, not an original one, it's Tom Brady. Okay, that's 3 votes for Brady. Top Pat of all time for me is Drew Bledsoe, just like Kev. I know it's not the obvious choice. I'm not basing my pick on stats and performance, although they were not that bad. Staying on the current theme concerning good or bad influences on the team, like Aqib Talib, the way Drew Bledsoe dealt with the quarterback change and playing the backup role while not being a distraction to the team was phenomenal. Not to mention his off-field charity work and just being a true gentleman has a lot to do with it as well. I've never been a fan of sports figures being role models, but Drew is definitely the exception. Well said, Canadian Mike. Well said. And then he goes, as far as Talib goes, if he doesn't conform, let him go. The risk is worth the 4th-round pick. Let's face it, the draft seems to be a crapshoot anyway. At least we know he can play in the bigs. Good email, Mike. Excellent job. Sean from Live Free or Die, New Hampshire. I'm sure Sean has gone out and voted already, right? He says, John, this is too hard, but if I have to pick just one from the past, it's Ben Coates. All right. There's a selection for Ben Coates.
That's got a new one on the list.
A new one on the list. We had 7 players selected before Coates' name was mentioned. He made every big catch when we were all on edge, and he gave us many happy Sundays, and he made us smile a lot back when smiling was difficult. And then his present player is, drumroll please, Vince Wilfork. No doubt he brings it every game and is a tremendous person. So Wilfork is edging here. And he says, everyone go vote. Later, Sean. I'm sure Sean from Live Free or Die New Hampshire has done exactly that today. Probably don't even have to say that. All right, here comes Josh from Charlottesville. Oh, Big Matt has walked into the room. You got to vote, Matt. Come in here. Big Matt from Patriots.com. Come on. I'm going to let you vote today. You got to step into the polls, all right?
That is the poll center.
Yes.
It is the poll center for the pregame social.
Pregame social.
We call this area, John, the poll center.
The Matt LePan's poll center, right? Okay. All right, we're voting today. Favorite Patriot all-time, favorite Patriot present.
All right. Putting me on the spot.
I know.
All-time. John Hanna.
Okay. Wow, we had to go 9 deep before Hanna got a vote? Maybe the greatest offensive lineman to have ever played the game in the NFL.
Yeah, he had a mean streak like no other.
Yeah. Good selection.
Thank you.
Excellent lineman. Offensive lineman, so you got to hang together, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, and then certainly built like one anyway. Well, that's a compliment.
Hey, I know I'm built like one. What did we say I was the other day? Rotund.
Like that. All right. And then Patriot president. Yeah, right.
I was expecting a fat joke there.
No.
It was funny because he's fat.
That's what I was expecting. There we go.
That's what you're waiting for. Okay. All right. Present.
Present. I'm going to go with Deion. Got to go with Deion Branch.
Okay.
Something about him. He always shows up in the big spot.
So he chooses a fat guy and a skinny guy.
And a skinny guy. A little guy.
That's right.
By the way, John, I'm getting badgered here. Mary Beth said she's voted since 2:30 on your Facebook.
I just haven't gone to Facebook
yet. She's just laying into me.
She's laying into you?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Here we go.
She's taking her anger.
All right, man. And Matt, thank you for the vote.
No problem.
All right.
Thank you.
Mary Beth, my favorite current Patriot is Vince Wilfork. Always smiling and always doing his job. All-time favorite, Teddy Bruschi. All right, let me write this down.
Score one for Bruschi.
She says, for much of the same reasons and his tenacity.
This thing is a whopping 16 inches.
God, you had to play that, right?
These things really are huge.
And his tenacity at getting back to the game. They are both role models I would want my grandchildren emanating. I find it interesting that Kat, you, and I all have Wilfork as our current favorite. And you know, John, these have been here since approximately 2:30. She's castigating me. She's severely castigating me. Go easy on me, Mary Beth. Go easy on me. Thank you. All right. There you go. I read your vote. If you voted on Facebook, I'm going to get to it. I'm just trying to get, short order here. But I will definitely get to it. But thank you, Mary Beth. Since you complained to Kevin via Facebook, then I'll get your vote in and you're voting. All right. So let me bring you up to date here because we've got 12 minutes until the polls close. As far as current Patriot, Vince Wilfork right now has a little better than 2-1 lead over Tom Brady in the voting for current favorite Patriot player. And then as far as Patriots past, we have a very tight race for favorite. Teddy Bruschi with a 1-vote advantage over Steve Grogan. 1-vote lead over Steve Grogan all time.
And no one said your boy Pete Brock.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad. I almost feel guilty that I didn't vote for Pete.
We'll make sure.
Well, you know what? Hey, all right.
It.
You know what? I just because I did allow for vice Patriots today, vice players, right? Vice favorites.
Sure.
Okay. Then he just got my vote for a vice player. Okay. So Brock gets a vote.
But we won't tell him that we didn't vote
for him on
Friday.
No, I won't mention that as well. No, won't mention that. Yes, Pete and I have our next college game to do Friday when Pittsburgh plays at UConn Friday night. Rookie, you'll be on the stack crew that night. So I know you'll be there for that.
Can't wait.
All right, here's Josh from Charlottesville. He says, I don't have a nitpick from London, but I do have a nitpick with the media coverage of the Tlaib trade, a game day story, and a favorite Patriot. First of all, my favorite Pat of all time has to be Tom Brady. All right, there's an abundant vote for Brady. He's got 4. Man is simply the best at what he does. He wins the hot wife contest, too. Now I have a serious problem with NFL.com's article debate on whether or not Tlaib will be a problem here, also let alone if he can produce in the system. I believe the comparisons between Ocho, Haynesworth, and Tlaib are unfair and illogical. True, in their eyes, he may be just into the corner, if not slightly above average, but the doubt they had in BB's disciplinary abilities just made my blood boil. Sorry, I had to voice my opinion there, but I found that there was no fan comment section in the article as I angrily scrolled along. So what are your thoughts? Comparisons between Ocho, Haynesworth, and Tlaib. Unfair? Slightly. Because Ocho and Haynesworth were pretty much on the downside of their careers, as opposed to Tlaib, who's still working on his rookie contract. Now, we don't know for sure, to be honest with you, Josh, but you're right, and I understand why you're upset, because NFL.com's comparison, I think you're right, is illogical. How about that? League website doing something like that. That's just a writer's opinion, so don't get too bent out of shape. Story. So I didn't go to my usual spot to watch the games because the Patriots weren't playing, so I agreed to go to a sports bar with a good buddy of mine I haven't hung around with a while. Pretty much every game on their flat screens, beer was plentiful, all seemed right in the world until I noticed there was an entire Bills fan club sitting across the bar staring me down. I wasn't even wearing any of my jerseys, but I did have on my New England football shirt with one of the hats I ordered from the pro shop. Kind of ignored them. Some of their gazes never left me, even when they were licking the barbecue off of their fingers. Once I had consumed enough vodka and Red Bull, everything went downhill from there. Uh-oh. To make a longer story short, picture, if you will, a stare-down contest between a couple of Bills fans and I with Eye of the Tiger blaring through the Charlottesville Bills speaker system low across the bar. Anyway, I kept my head for another few minutes before some of the fans got rowdy and resulted in them and I being ejected from the bar! Oh! No! One of them walked up right behind me, as loud as he could, started saying, "Oh, yeah, we feel real good about beating the Patriots next week. Better not be here, homeboy." To which I replied, "Yeah, a lot of teams do, but then it usually ends in tears. These things usually do when you're a Bills fan." I know I should have kept it to myself, but vodka and Red Bull can really bring out the demons in a man. But no worries, I'm fine. Josh, representing Patriots Nation, that's wow. A good job out of you. He says, "The reason I bring the incident up isn't to make you think I'm a crazy person. I've been trying to get a true Patriots fan club together down here in Charlottesville for years now. I can't find enough fans."
I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him, pounding the shit out of him.
Okay, and he just swore.
That was Paul's fight.
Paul's fight. I have a sports bar to host it at. Two friends of mine own the bar. I'd really like to put together a solid, fun time for my fellow fans in the area. Closest one we have here is in Virginia Beach, unless there's a less-known one in Richmond or so an hour away. If you guys could help me get the word out to other Pats fans that are listening, I'd appreciate it. Nobody tailgates around here like we do. They can send all inquiries to... you want me to give the email address? I guess I will. Josh S. Kosner, josh.kosner@yahoo.com. It may not even get started until next year, depending on how many I get, but it'd be great to have a head count. Sucks being a lonely Patriot fan out here.
And Pepe Le Pen, who we just had in here, is in charge of that fan club stuff. So
nice. All right, well, then we'll make sure that Big Matt sees the email address.
So hopefully he gets enough people.
We'll hook you up.
He can register on Patriots.com as long as he gets. I think there's a person requirement. I'm not sure how many people he has to get.
All right, Josh, so there you go. Big Matt, ticket.
Yeah, but we do have a lot of fan clubs registered, and then Matt talks to them and corresponds to them, and we feature a different fan club on every pregame show that we have.
Nice.
We check in with a different one.
All right. Okay, hopefully you get started then, kid. Patrick's vote. He says, passed. Stephen Neal. Kind of an unusual selection. Probably because he comes from a wrestling background. Present, Vince Wilfork. A big Vince Wilfork just went back up 2-1 over Tom Brady. Let's see. What else we have here? We have some other ones. Hang on. Here we go. Okay. Joe in Maine wants to go with Fred here. All right. Hi, John. This is a hard one to pick just one. There's Gronk, Wes, Vince, and Aaron. Of course, there's Chandler as well, our new stud. And I know this may seem boring, but I think I'd have to go say Tom Brady. All right, so Brady picks up his fifth. My all-time vote might go to Troy or Kevin Falk. Believe it or not, that is the first Troy Brown vote. The very first Troy Brown Patriot
bingo,
pass.
Bingo! I got bingo!
And Kevin Falk picks up his third. As for Tlaib, I think it has the potential to be a brilliant move, not that much of a risk, and if it works out, it'll be a coup. We already have a better defense up front with Chandler and Dante. I think the defense has potential to improve greatly by the end of the season, but one does wish for another Rodney or Ty Law. That's Peter in Minneapolis. Thank you, Peter. Max, stationed at MCAS Miramar, California. Sergeant in the U.S. military, U.S. Marine Corps. Thank you for your service, Sergeant. And Max says, my vote for favorite patriot all time is Rodney Harrison. There's another vote for Rodney. Call him what you want, but I called him the hammer. Because if you got to be hit by 37, that was your ass back then. My present vote is for Big Daddy Vince Wilfork. Okay, that's a good selection, too. Being in the Marine Corps, surrounded by fellow Pats fans, we call him the Master Guns, or Top Wilfork, because he's been a patriot for so long, and whatever he hits, he destroys. That man controls a lot of turf around him, and I love watching him dismantle an O-line. Give him hell Sunday, Pats. Hold the line. Good stuff, Sergeant. Thank you. Let's see. Here we go. Yeah, that's Josh. He says, favorite patriot was Tom Brady. Present. Okay. Definitely Teddy Bruschi. Did he not vote? Yeah, we counted you already, Josh. You did. We counted it. Dave in Monterey, California. He said, Eric stole my votes. I'm a Bruschi guy all the way. So there's another vote for Bruschi. He played with heart, brains, and tenacity. I haven't been able to get excited about a player since then. He says, I love the Ted defense with Teddy Bruschi, Ted Johnson, and Ted Washington. That was a very good one. I also nominate Rodney Harrison and Junior Seau as possible past faves. My present favorite is CJ, Chandler Jones.
Yeah, finally, Chandler Jones getting some love.
Somebody else joining you there, rookie. Jones is a beast, will be a game changer for the foreseeable future. Eric made his announcement as I was typing. I'm not copying him. That's probably smart, Dave. Here we go. Raymond, current player, Nate Solder. Just to be different since he's becoming a consistent rock. All right, so we get Nate Solder in there. Past, Vincent Brown. Wow. Remember The Undertaker? Vincent Brown from the 1980s? Tough dude, played hard. Interesting choice. Adam in Alexandria, Virginia. All-time favorite, Ty Law. Well, that's the first vote for Ty Law. Vice favorite, Lawyer Malloy. That's the first one for Malloy. I know they left on less than great terms, especially Malloy, but they were key cogs in something that is almost a mythological legend these days, and that's a great New England defense and secondary. Oh, ouch. That hurt. Present, who doesn't love Gronk? True. Vice, I like what I've seen so far in the small sampling, just have a good feeling in Alphonso Dennard. So Alphonso Dennard gets his first mention as well.
Liking the wide variety in these picks.
Some really good variety in the selections now that we've gotten people have gotten off their arses and decided to vote. Fernando, John, hope this and everyone in the studio, hope this arrives in time. I haven't been following the Pats for long. I started back in 06 after the playoffs because I was impressed with how they played even though they lost to the Colts. My favorite all-time is Bruschi. So no vote for Teddy B. Current favorite is Mankins. Logan Mankins gets his first mention in his first vote as favorite current Patriot. Okay, Tom from Virginia. All time, the late, very great Mosi Tatupu. Good one. He sort of personified in the Troy Brown mold. Just a true Patriot. Kevin Falk mold, a true Patriot. Right? So I think that's a good selection. Thank you for that one. And here's Jess, says past favorite, Troy Brown. So there's the second one for Troy. He did everything. Current and future, Brandon Spikes. Second vote for Spikes. He murders people. Careful on your choice of words there. Yeah. And all time, he says Brady. He's Tom F. and Brady. All right, so we'll give Brady that vote as well. Let's see. Are we out of emails now, finally? Nope, there's one more that just came in. He says, I also love John Hanna. This is from Donald. John Hanna, I grew up while he was playing. His toughness and outright aggressiveness was my idea of what a football player should be. Grogan is a close second. Current crop, I'm loving Spikes for the same reason. So another vote for Spikes and another vote for John Hanna. Second one for Hog Hanna in that regard. All right, I think we got one more phone call. Here comes Dave in Tampa. Dave, you're in the playbook. Hey, Dave.
Down.
Dave is listening on the internet, and he's not listening on the phone.
For years.
Guess what? Huh? Got to put it on hold until he comes back to the speaker here. See if you can get him up there, Kev. All right, let me go to Facebook, because I got a bunch on Facebook here as well. Michael says, favorites, all-time Troy Brown, extremely versatile player. Current, Rob Gronkowski. All right, so we're going to put down Troy Brown, his third. Gronk gets his third vote as well. Yes, he voted Mickey Mouse and Winnie the Pooh are excellent candidates. I pondered Big Bird, but Mickey has a mouse catool for everything. Oh, thank you. He voted early, too. Troy got my vote early on. Yes, Michael was the first one. Let the record show, Michael was the first one to vote today. Mary Beth was soon after, and I waited until almost the last to announce your vote, Michael, so I apologize for that. Here's Luis on Facebook. It says, present Tom Brady. Vice, Deion Branch. Okay. Past, Rodney Harrison. Where is Harrison on my list here? There he is. His vice is Teddy Bruschi. All right. John on Facebook. Andre Tippett, favorite in the past. And Tom Brady, best current player. Brady's making a run at Big Vince here late. Morgan on Facebook. My current favorite player, Vince Wilfork. That may give Vince the edge there. And let's see, greatest franchise ever. Oh, and he doesn't do a favorite overall, the Kraft family. Oh, well, there's a vote for the Kraft family. Greatest all time. Okay.
Kraft and Mayo go together.
Yes, they do. I'd have to say that they probably do go together.
No one voted for Gerard Mayo either.
Nobody did vote for Gerard Mayo. Okay. All right. Oh, so our phone caller gave up, huh? That's it?
I gave up on him.
Okay. All right. Apologize for that. Apologize for that. All right. So here's the final tally at 4:01 Eastern time. You ready? You have a little drum roll? You have a little drum roll for this? Or do we have some sort of a voting machine sound effect? All right. Favorite Patriot. Listeners of Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com radio. Current favorite Patriot is Vince Wilfork. There were, and he edged out Tom Brady 10 votes to 8. So it was actually a fairly close margin at the very end.
Everyone
Brady made a
sucks
run.
But me.
There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 different players receiving votes, which is significant. 13 current players receiving votes, of which Wilfork got 10. So you can see how many people actually got a chance to vote. So I thank you for the late flurry of votes here. And then favorite Patriot player of all time, past Patriot Patriot players. Do we have another drum roll on that one? He's a little slow today.
I have to type in D-R-U. I have to
well, just can't you call it
it's
up?
It's okay, though, because he's 47.
Oh, you got to search for it. Okay. Past Patriot favorite is Teddy Bruschi. He pulled in 7 votes. He outpolled Rodney Harrison, who had 4. Andre Tippett, Kevin Falk, Steve Grogan, and Troy Brown each had 3. So you can see the voting was much tighter there amongst Pat's from the past. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, 17 different players. And actually, I should say 17 different people because the Kraft family was included as one of those. But 17 different votes, different folks were nominated for Patriots past.
Couldn't the Kraft family be current, too?
Yeah, they could. They could probably put them as a vote for the current as well, right? Because they still are current. See, it took the rookie to figure that part out. All right, so an excellent job by everybody. Thank you for, you know, having a little fun with us today as we do our duty and vote today. And I hope that if you have not yet voted, wherever you are, that you get out and do your civic duty and get out and vote, because it's what we're all about around here in this country. All right, coming up in the playbook tomorrow, same Pat's time, same Pat's channel, 2 p.m. Eastern time. We turn our focus to this Sunday and the rematch with the Buffalo Bills. The Patriots are 5-3 at the halfway point. Some of us think they can win 7 or 8 in the second half, and we'll talk about that. Your second half expectations for this team will certainly be a part of the playbook on Wednesday. We got the fantasy football guys coming up next, right? They're next here on Patriots.com radio. Thanks, Rookie.
You are very welcome.
Thanks, Kev.
No problem.
And happy 40, birthday.
Happy 47.
I knew he was going to get it in there. No cookies for you next time.
See you tomorrow.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2